ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Dar, and Alex Zelma.
Yeah! Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man.
Guys, thank you so much for coming today. You doing okay, Justin?
That's fine. I'll just stand like this. Look, I'm a fight announcer. Let's get ready for comics!
You definitely do not know anything about fights.
No, no.
I mean, also, I don't.
I know about losing fights.
Yeah. So, guys, it's going to be a pretty big weekend this weekend. There's Free Comic Book Day is coming up.
Oh, yeah!
Very excited about that.
Very excited.
But there's another thing that's happening this weekend. Avengers is coming out.
Now, here's the thing. Right, guys? Can't wait.
Well, wait is an interesting word.
I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
All right. Last week, Justin went to see a screening of Avengers.
I have spent
all week in my head being like, I'm going to kill Justin.
Which, to be fair, is no different than a normal week.
Sure. But specifically, I'm just predicting he's going to spoil this, he's going to spoil that. Entire week, I'm like, how am I going to stab Justin on stage? What is that going to be like? Oh, you figured it out. Good.
Really smart of you. Moved it around the chair.
Ta-da!
Good trick. And I was pretty worried about that until last night when I went to see Avengers.
Oh! So we all saw it!
Yeah, we all saw Avengers.
No, we didn't all see it.
I'm sure you dreamed of it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, how was it in your dreams?
It was awesome. Both of you died.
That happens in the movie. Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert for that. Guys, I'm very excited about the show we have tonight and the guests that we have on. One is the host of the appropriately named Chris Gethard Show. The other one is the overlord of all things nerdy as The Nerdist. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Gethard and Chris Hardwick!
Welcome.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Microphone.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you being here. We tried to invite a couple more Chris's, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
It's a two Chris show tonight.
I'm calling it Geth Hardwick. I don't know if I've really been to put it out there.
Do you get that? Good.
I understand that because my last name ends with the syllable hard phonetically.
Has that ever haunted you throughout your life?
Oh, do you think so? Do you think that ever came up that my last name spells the words get hard? Yeah. Yeah, that haunted me.
Hardwick's no walk in a park growing up.
No, I bet there's good puns based on that. But get hard is just,
get hard
just
is the worst.
To them.
Well, why is get hard the worst? That's like
that's the best.
No
it's
one
the
says
best now.
Yeah, but no one says that unless you're not very hard.
But they didn't. My thing was like they didn't have to think about it at all. They didn't have to do any work for it. You know, like the dumb bullies could just be dumb and still have that.
Oh yeah, you were hip pocketed.
And in a way, they're sort of ordering you to get hard, which is which is like saying to Banner like Hulk out.
Yeah,
because the Hulk really is an anthropomorphic boner. If you really
pretty much
think about
that's just what Stan Lee would say.
Don't ruin
boners
my
aren't green. Oh,
what
boners aren't green?
Yes,
are you
what are you talking about? Are you talking about? Yeah, that's why they invented the Red Hulk to make it more accurate. Oh, that's what the origin. Oh, I guess you guys haven't caught up on that.
Spoiler:
you should have an exclamation point at the end of your name.
Sure.
Problem,
I'll do that from now on, yeah.
The problem when you have a last name that's borderline something that someone can turn is that no matter how old you get, people still point it out to you like you've never heard it before.
Every day. You have a lot of things where you, as a performer, you have a lot of experiences where you perform in public and it's the first thing anyone brings up, Justin.
Well, I was talking about something else, and just naturally and organically, I like to think.
Back there, you said it's the first thing I'm going to say.
Don't pull back the curtain. The first thing I'm going to say is your name in a dumb way.
There was an exact dramatic reenactment of what happened over there.
That was crazy.
I've been a bully this whole time.
Whoa!
What?
Whoa. We've been infiltrated.
That's a crazy long con.
Yeah,
that actually makes you a nerd. If you were secretly a bully for five and a half years.
That explains the sports shirt, Tony.
Yes. Sports!
Who are you?
This is not a sports shirt, by the way. It's a jersey is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, whatever.
Sports shirt!
It's not technically. Yeah, whatever. That's close enough.
I get them mixed up. I just go across the river to new sports shirt. That's where I mix up jersey and sports shirt.
So, Chris, you, unless I read my Wikipedia wrong, you were the voice of Green Arrow on the Batman.
Yeah. I was the voice of Green Arrow.
How did you get hooked up with that?
I don't know. I knew that. Well, I was friends with this woman Andrea Romano, who casts all of the all of the great Warner Brothers animated. She was head of Warner Brothers Animation casting, and so she said, "Hey, do you want to be a Green Arrow? You look like an Oliver Queen." And so that's what I did for a handful of episodes.
Did she know that voice acting isn't based on looks?
No, she didn't. I got super excited because my storyline really picked up. And then I went in one day thinking, like, oh, my God, spinoff. It's going to merchandise. It's going to be amazing. And they're like, all right, guys, this is going to be the last episode of The Batman. And I'm like, no! And so my Green Arrow dreams died after, like, four episodes.
What was your take on the voice of Green Arrow?
They wanted it to, well, first of all, it's awesome because they have the entire cast read together. So there's, like, you know, Robert Patrick is there, all these really cool actors that you like, and you're reading in a giant circle around the sound in this audio booth.
Oh, like in preschool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
Indian
I
style.
See Robert Patrick.
Yeah. It's the only way I'll do it.
All right,
who
I'm ready
sees
now.
Me? Yeah.
And so they, you know, every time I would start to get a little more animated, my voice tends to get high when I'm excited. And so they would always bring him down a little bit down here. So, like, everything was just talk in a slightly lower register than your regular voice. And that was Oliver Queen.
When you were reading the lines, did you find you were making, like, silently, like, a little...
Yeah.
When you were shooting arrows?
Flick, 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 flick. And I would accidentally improvise, I'm Green fucking Arrow. And they would always... cut that out, because everyone knows so many superheroes' greatest power is just the fact that they're spoiled millionaires.
Yeah.
Which was his story too, like another fucking spoiled millionaire.
Well, no, he was trapped on an island for
a while.
Wait, that's also nice. Yeah.
With all the fruit he could eat.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe I'll take up archery.
Why aren't there more spoiled millionaires in real life that are superheroes?
Oh, great point. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mitt Romney should be a superhero.
Oh, it's hard to fight crime through all that pussy and drugs.
Yeah, every time Mitt Romney sees a purse snatcher, he's like, oh, I'm going to go fuck this girl. I'm going to fuck this girl right next to me instead.
Right. There's one alley where somebody's being mugged, and the other one is a hot girl.
Come here, Mitt Romney.
What? Who was summoning Mitt Romney?
Other people, hot people can have any voice.
That
doesn't matter.
Definitely you dressed as a girl trying to lure me.
And I'll tell you what, that scandal's going to break any day now.
Let's talk about Talking Dead a little bit.
Sure, Walking Dead. Yeah, sure.
So, first, I don't know if you saw there was a parody online, Talking Dead.
I did see Talking Dead, yeah.
Were you really angry?
Oh, I was so mad.
Yeah.
I wanted to make an after show about it. It was exciting. Yeah, it was a thing that someone made fun of. I consider that the highest compliment that a comedian can give you is to make fun of your thing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, what's coming up on Talking Dead?
Well, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead.
Cool. How hard... You're a fan of The Walking Dead.
Huge fan, yeah.
Huge fan of The Walking Dead. How hard is it to be in this loop where you know pretty much everything that's going on?
I don't know everything that's going on. I specifically told them I don't want to know anything. At the beginning of the season, I had access to watch all of the shows that had been done at that point, and I said no because I kind of wanted my reaction to be organic on the show. Like, I don't want to be going, can you believe what just happened with that guy? But then secretly know, like, well, he's a goner.
He's gonna die.
You know, like, it just, I wanted to be organic, and I kind of wanted to take the journey. And also, as a fan,
wow.
I don't want to consume the show. Like, we gorge on shows, and I feel like we don't appreciate them. So I kind of wanted to take the journey of the show and look forward to it every week.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I try to be all cool and altruistic, but the truth of the matter is, the other main part is that I don't want to be on the show and then blurt out something, because there's the two, you know, there's the comic book universe of Walking Dead and there's the TV universe of Walking Dead, and sometimes I'm like, oh wait, okay, no, that's the TV show, and I just don't want to accidentally blurt something out, and then they're like, well, that's a wrap on you.
Yeah. On your life.
Yeah.
What a Hollywood way to be fired as well.
Yeah. I just get up and leave.
Hey, that's a wrap on you.
Get out of here. Go back to Dubuque. Is it true that The Walking Dead spun out of The Talking Dead? Or was it the other way around?
Yeah, Talking Dead was first, and then Amos Lee was like, we really should put a show before this. It's just not connecting with people.
The producers were watching are like, what are you talking about? So do you have any idea what's coming up on the next season, or are you keeping blind about
No,
that
but
well?
I do know, like, at the Talking Dead rap party, Kirkman said, like, he said, you know, look at the energy of where the show has been the last handful of... Because there were a lot of, you know, complaints that, you know, 2, 3, and 4 of the last season were, like, not zombie-heavy and there was more people drama. And then it totally picked up. Yeah. So all those people who complained can suck Glenn Mazzara's dick. But
done and done.
Oh, come on.
Tweeting that right now.
But Kirkman
done
said...
Done and done.
But as you know, the show got super intense, and Kirkman said that he's really excited about season 3 because it starts at that level and then continues and ratchets up. So, I mean, you know, without giving away any spoilers, there were certain touch points in the season finale that hit things in the comic book that people have been wanting to see. Yeah. And they did it so fucking masterfully.
Yeah, very, very good.
That it just... Like, there's the one character shows
Michonne.
Up. And you're
we
like,
can say those names here.
Okay,
this
yeah, Michonne,
cause
Michonne comes and shows up because they mentioned they cast her, and you're just like... Fuck yes! Yeah. And then the show ends, and you think it's over, and then the camera reveals the other thing, and you're like, double fuck yes! Yeah. And so I'm super excited about next season.
Yeah, coordinated fuck yes.
Yes.
Yeah, not to get too snaky in its own tail, but what's going on with Nerdist and All-Star Bowling?
It is interesting that you should ask.
Yes.
Smooth.
Thank you.
We are having a talk show with talk show hosts.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about my dumb show. The bowling show was sort of a fluky kind of, hey, I love bowling, let's make a fun bowling show that's, you know, that's about like what it's like to actually go bowling with your friends. And last week we had Team Mad Men on. This week we had Reggie Watts and Bo Burnham and Garfunkel and Oates.
Awesome.
Next week is Team Walking Dead. With Robert Kirkman and who else is on the show? Lauren Cohan and Scott Wilson and Steve Young. Awesome. And so they're on the show. We also taped a Breaking Bad episode, and we taped a Mythbusters episode.
Wait, who was on the Breaking Bad episode?
Cranston, Aaron Paul.
Oh.
It was an amazing.
That's awesome.
It was an amazing episode.
And then after that is the Hell on Wheels episode.
It's Hell on Wheels, Deadwood. We just go through every show.
Cool, cool.
Facts of Life.
Yeah. The reruns of Cops Bowling Show.
We're gonna do the Happy Days Bowling episode, and then the Mork and Mindy episode's gonna spin out of that one.
Nice. Spin,
and then Lenny and Squigger. Kind of be like, hello, and then all the kids love Laverne and Shirley jokes.
Yeah. Yes. Still fresh. Still
I'm actually
topical.
Starting a show called Talking About All-Star Bowling.
All-Star Talking. Talk Star
How many
bowling.
Stars do you have on that show?
None. Nobody's agreed to do it yet.
But by the way, you guys are doing an amazing job on comic books, and thank you so much for doing it.
Did you all do this at the same time?
Yep.
That was so adorable.
Shucks.
Stop. Adorbs.
We're all squiggies in that way.
Chris Gethard, let's chat with you a little bit.
Sure. So I am also on this couch. I am also present on this couch.
Oh!
Oh, okay.
I'm also. No, that's about the amount of things I have to talk about presently on this couch.
What are you working on? Well, I'm sitting
last
on this
time
couch.
You were on the show, we chatted about, I think, the one comic book thing that you know about. You're not very into comic books, but
I grew up hardcore into them and then hit a point where I was poor and they were getting more expensive. And I hit that sad state where I was like, I can't even do this anymore. But yeah, no, I grew up on them. But yes, last time I was here, you were saying.
Well, I was looking for stuff to talk about then because I didn't want to just rehash what we talked about the last time. Couldn't really find, you don't really seem to do any comic book sketches on your show or anything like that. But I did find you released a book, A Bad Idea I'm About to Do.
Yes, right? I did do that.
And
yeah.
Amy
Great
Poehler,
book, everybody.
Amy Poehler had a quote on it where she called you a secret comedy superhero.
Yes, that was very
nice. I'm stretching.
Nice. Yeah.
But what are the powers of a secret comedy superhero?
Oh, to be a comedy superhero? I get depressed a lot. I feel like an outcast and then can therefore analyze life by being on the outside looking in.
Is that when you're a hero or is that your secret identity?
Yeah, they merge. They merge. No, here's something related to comic books. You brought up Robert Kirkman. He once made fun of me while I was on stage and he was in the audience.
Seriously?
It was awesome. No, I deserved it.
He heckled you.
Yes, yes. He heckled me. Well, I was doing doing a show at the UCB Theater here in New York, and he was in the audience. And I do, I've got a whole bunch of the Walking Dead trades, and loved Invincible.
Yeah,
I did read that, yeah. And someone told us he was in the audience, and me and a few other people who knew his work went out, and I was just like, you know, I just want to say, like, Robert Kirkman's here. He's an awesome writer, writes these comic books. And then he started, like, going back and forth with us a little bit, and I was like, I probably shouldn't cop to this here, but you once wrote an issue of Invincible that I did not like, and I sent you an email. I sent you an email, and I went crazy. And I was like, I'm sure you won't remember this. And I was like, I immediately sent you another email saying, like, I'm 30 and I shouldn't have done that. And
in full superhero costume.
Yeah, no, but I did. I sent Robert Kirkman a letter that was like, hey, man, maybe if you stopped going on less rants on the internet and paid more attention to Invincible. Oh, like,
whoa.
Yeah.
And then
immediately wrote him back and was like, I'm 30. Why? Why did I do that? I have major life issues that have nothing to do with you or your work. Your work. I just poured it all out. I was like,
that's your superpower right there.
Yeah, right there. Flying off the handle. But I said, I was like, you know, I have some real issues. And clearly your comic book is great, and I love it, and I'm so sorry. And then he was like, I do remember that. Like, he remembered it. He's like, I remember that. We laugh about that. And then he's a very charismatic man, and he took over the room, and I stood on stage in pretty much total silence while he just tore me to shreds in front of an audience. I had to
at your it. Show.
At the show I was hosting.
At the Chris Shepherd show?
No, at the UCB Theater where I've performed for 12 years in New York. He tore me to shreds, and then I had to sadly do a show.
Yeah.
I deserved it, though. You can't be doing shit like that.
And then
that.
You're also the host of the Robert Kirkman show as well, which airs on the internet.
It's called Talking Robert Kirkman.
Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, we once reviewed Youngblood 1 many years ago, and Kirkman... Yeah, right? That was sort of my review, and then on the bulletin board, he personally tore me to shreds.
Yeah,
just me! And I was like, and then every time, and then I've interviewed him several times since, and every time he looks at me, and he squints, and I'm like, fuck, he remembers.
So he
remembers every time.
His superpower is never forgetting.
I know, which is great, except there's other stuff to remember, right?
I guess so. Did Invincible get better from there?
Invincible's great. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It was like two issues. It was the issue where he squeezed in that Wolfman, that other thing.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah.
He had an issue that was just an advertisement.
He's not right. He proved that it wasn't right.
Why? Because he got made fun of? That's definitely not true.
Just because there was a comic that took maybe a little dip from where you wanted it to go doesn't mean it was a bad comic.
Oh, you mean like when Punisher was changed
all
into
right.
a
Boom! That's an ultimate trump card on P. LePage.
Objection. I'll allow it.
Guys, I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. All right.
Where's the graphic? I'm used to seeing the graphic.
Oh, it comes up in front.
It comes up.
What?
It comes up in front.
It's on everybody's eyes.
I thought it was a live graphic.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's usually a guy.
For a man who does so much television, you have a very limited grasp of how it works.
I thought it just came up. It's not?
Where are all the commercials? I would like to buy some Tide.
Where's my... I need Woolite. How do I remember to do that?
Why am I doing this like a 4-year-old who has to pee?
I know.
Like hugging your pillow. Like,
yeah. Chris, please speak in a deeper voice and stop rubbing your legs together. You're Green Arrow.
I really have to urinate.
On the stack, we made a pick, some comic book that we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to bat for it. And if you guys are watching at home on YouTube or listening at home, let us know what you think in a comment section or anything like that. You guys just, you know, think in your head.
Just think comments.
Just think about comic books real hard, and we'll hear what's going on with you. We're going to go with Pete's pick first, which was Daredevil number 11 from Passage. You guys over there. Pete, what did you like about this book?
Mark Waid doing an amazing job with a mega effect. I really like the twists and turns this kind of trio comic is taking. It's the team up of Spider-Man, the Punisher, and Daredevil. And it's kind of a weird team up, but I like the way they play off of each other.
It's kind of like you guys.
Oh, yeah. We're all like those people.
Yeah.
I guess you would be Spidey.
Yeah, I'd be the Punisher.
Yep. And you would be the Punisher's girlfriend. Also featured in this comic. Yeah.
Oh, you blinded him. He's Daredevil.
This issue is great, and this crossover has been absolutely excellent, written by Mark Waid. I think Greg Rucka wrote one of the chapters as well.
Yeah, it was split in Zeb Wells, I believe,
but
on
Marco Cetto, who regularly does art for Punisher, did this issue. One thing that I think is so cool about this, Mark Waid and company have created such a unique visual identity for this new Daredevil series. He sees the world just in a different way, and to see different artists interpret that, I think is really cool.
Like Affleck?
Yeah, different artist, Ben Affleck, of course, the prime. Whenever I hear Momo or any artist, I think Ben Affleck first. Yeah. And then I go...
I really thought you were talking about that.
The duck. Yeah, the duck.
Remember when the duck played Daredevil? Yeah. It really took a bizarre turn.
I'll tell you what, would have been a better movie.
Handshake.
The other thing that I think is great about this issue, this is such a stupid joke, but I like it so much. Spider-Man, the entire crossover, keeps calling Daredevil Magoo.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
That's really messed up.
It is funny, but they keep pushing it. It's like, I get it.
Peter Parker wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's really mean. That's really,
I agree.
That's
and
not
also,
a Peter Parker move.
Meanly. He's not like, fuck you, Magoo.
Yeah.
He's not a Snarkenstein. Like, Peter Parker's not
what?
He's not a Snarkenstein. Yeah, he's not snarky that way.
Yeah, and here's also the thing. That cartoon stopped airing in, like, 1970. So who's that joke for? This group and these people and no one else.
The kids are going to love the Mr. Magoo, right?
Yeah.
What child doesn't love a good Jim Backus character?
Also, if you've ever seen that cartoon, it's just about a doddering blind man.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people thought was funny back then.
I can't find the toilet to pee. This is hilarious.
Every joke in that thing is him thinking, like, something that's not a human is a human.
And dissecting Magoo right now.
It's
Magoo.
The same thing in this comic book. Daredevil's like, where's the bathroom? Yeah.
Remember the time Daredevil answered the cat?
Yeah.
Oh, what a hilarious.
That's what this whole crossover was about him tracking down that cat. And it was great. Mega crime, kidnap that cat.
Yeah, great issue. You like this as well.
I like this as well. I wish something had changed, though. At the end of it, it all goes back to normal.
Yeah, I agree. I did.
It's weird in comics.
Yeah, well, this is it's three issues. Like, we can take a quick break from the status quo for three issues.
I thought it was very touching issues, so fuck you.
What about? I was interested in your feelings until you said fuck you.
Justin, let's move on with your pick, which was another Marvel book, FF number 17.
FF!
Pass it over to you. Justin, what'd you like about this book?
So, FF and Fantastic Four, big, continuity heavy, is Celestials going crazy, everything. This issue is just about two dudes living together. Peter Parker and Johnny Storm, they have a party. Peter Parker
crazy
makes out
party.
With one of the Yondo girls, Centaurians, which is really funny. Johnny Storm hooks up with Mary Jane. It's a crazy issue.
Stop. That's messed up.
There's this great panel, though, where, like, clearly they're, like, hungover at the end and everyone's drinking, but Peter Parker has to go buy more Fizz Cola? And I was like, who are you fooling here? If we're going to hear Magoo through that issue, let's have beer in the comics.
Well, like, he doesn't drink. Peter Parker doesn't drink.
The whole thing is about a party where everyone is acting.
You could
drunk.
Have a crazy soda party.
Hell yeah.
It's pronounced sody.
It is.
But anyway, this is a great comic. It was great to see these guys are great friends. Great to see them together.
Yeah. Pete, what'd you think?
Delightful all over.
Yeah.
It's really fun to pay money for a comic. Just see two people going through household. Hey, who's going to pick up the soda? You know, like.
Don't you think Marvel's always been good at that?
Yeah, that's what I love about it.
Do you remember the issue of Captain America where he just takes Diamondback on a date and the other members of the Serpent Society are like, we don't want Diamondback getting cock-blocked, so they stop crimes?
Yeah.
Captain America doesn't have to leave the date.
I think it's so much more interesting than just like people shooting each other. That's so cool.
Yeah, particularly this is coming off of a gigantic, huge storyline that probably took the entire series up until now. So to see them take a break, I mean, they're hanging out, but they also fall into the negative zone through their closet.
And
there's
dude,
aliens.
Yeah, maybe it's about household stuff, but Annihilus is pooping on their toilet at the end of the issue.
Yeah.
That's different than real life.
Well, hey, maybe someone needs to come out of the negative zone.
Now, Pete, I wanted to ask you, now that Johnny Storm and Mary Jane have hooked up, do you think Mary Jane is going to sell their hookup to the devil?
Yep. That's her deal.
Yeah. He's like, I don't really need this one very badly.
Give me your hookup.
All right. We're going to move on with my pick, which I'm very surprised about this, but Avengers versus X-Men versus. Woo! Number one, this is an all Marvel pick. We tried to find some other stuff, but we love this stuff.
Yeah.
This book is exactly what you think it is from the title. It's just fights, and that's it.
Finally, Marvel has wised up and just made a whole comic of fighting.
Yep. It's called Pete LePage Presents Avengers versus X-Men.
I wish.
This, for those of you who don't know, Avengers vs. X-Men is the big event that's going on in Marvel right now.
Remember?
I remember. That's a callback.
In this corner, Magneto, and then Iron Man, and then the Thing and Namor.
Fired.
Yeah, you were really bad at that.
Well, I didn't want to take so much time.
This comic is just as much fun as you would want it to be. The first fight is Magneto versus Iron Man. Second one is Thing versus Namor.
Like I announced.
And it's ridiculous. Everything you would want to happen, the fight happens. There's a definitive winner.
What? Everything?
Well, I guess they don't eat a chicken sandwich.
It is very good. Especially the little facts,
love that.
Throughout. Very funny.
That got really annoying.
What?
Yeah, like,
you're the
fact,
opposite of us.
Braces are expensive. Don't interrupt my fight for that shit.
Well, that's not supposed to be a true. You're not supposed to be like, oh, I better not get braces. It's just a joke because the thing is pulling teeth out of a giant fish.
Right. Yeah. No, I remember that part, but I just felt like. You know, don't bring up bad shit from my childhood about braces and how horrible they were.
You take everything very personally.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say about this issue is at one point they're fighting in the ocean, they fall to the bottom, and all of a sudden they pick up a treasure chest. The thing's like,
that's I love that. They're right near a sunken ship. He picks up a treasure chest. There's a little skeleton going.
That's bullshit. There aren't that many treasure chests out there, right?
There's
how do you know?
All over.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
This is great.
I'm glad a rock person is fighting on the ocean floor and you're suspending your disbelief.
I'm just saying, well, I try to apply it to my own life. Is there treasure out there?
Yeah, like, just go into the water.
Should we be in a submarine right now?
You got to get in the water. Never come out of the water.
All right.
I liked it, but I agree with Alex. I was dismayed at the lack of any chicken sandwich eating.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm curious, you guys.
Specifically dissatisfied.
Yeah.
There's an entire issue of FF coming up where Johnny Storm just eats a chicken sandwich.
Oh, that's awesome.
You guys will be really good.
It's very
for you guys, so the two fights of this issue are Magneto versus Iron Man and Thing versus Namor. Who would you expect is going to win in a fight like that?
Magneto. I read this issue when I got here.
Cheating.
And I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but come on. Magneto versus Iron Man?
I know.
Iron Man versus any other member of the X-Men universe is more interesting, right? The whole thing was just all justification for why Iron Man would survive for 10 seconds.
Yeah, and it's true. They even say, like, the first panel, it's like, I know, you got to think Iron Man's going to lose. And then the Magneto's like, oh, I'm going to pull the magnetic field from Jupiter. It's like, yo, cool it. Just beat him with regular magnet stuff.
Yeah.
Yo, but Jupiter
he's
magnets?
Wearing, yeah, well, I was like, do we really need to do this? He's bouncing shit off satellites and stuff. It's like,
hey, fucking Magneto, how does he work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Hardwick, for you, Thing versus Namor, who's going to win in that fight?
Well, they're not really on Thing's home turf, you know?
Right.
But
which is what? Yancey Stream. Fair.
They're underwater. Thing's underwater. I mean, but he's still... I mean, anything made of rocks is just, you know, like brute force strength, I think, still.
Oh, yeah.
It's still, unless you have someone who can separate his rocks from his underwear.
Yeah, get his rocks off.
But,
yep. You hear that, Justin? You hear that?
Brothers, we've been fighting him. We need to be blowing the thing.
Whoa, that's not how that works.
What is happening?
I think that's actually why he usually wears briefs, right?
Yep,
that's his one weakness is blowjobs.
Yep. And that's why you think Namor would win.
That's why my voice is gravelly. Come on. I missed the high five, too.
Yeah, we'll try it again.
Which is very, you're supposed to stare at the elbow.
Better. We'll fix it in post.
We'll take that again.
We're always correcting high fives on the show in post.
Something struck me while I was reading this. A question for you guys. So Magneto's big motivation is the Holocaust, right? And he brings it up a few times in this issue.
He does.
At what point, like, if Marvel's still going in 30 years, that means that they'll be, like, 100 years ago when I was in the Holocaust. The Nazis really fucked with me. And, man, am I still mad about what happened 100 years ago.
You can say that about so many of the characters.
Well, also, do you feel like we're going to be... I'm sorry, are you saying we're going to be over the Holocaust in 100 years?
No.
Cool it.
I don't think I came up that way at all. I would like to think that's not how I came up at all.
I'm just saying, it seems like you're a Holocaust denier, and you confirmed it.
How long is Magneto going to complain about that thing that didn't happen? I don't think that's how I came off at all. I'm just saying, no.
All right, get him out.
That's why you put the pillows there.
No. What I'm saying is Marvel Comics.
You make a good point.
Here's my point. The overall point.
I'm Jewish. I can talk about this.
It has nothing to do with the Holocaust itself, but Marvel's always done such a good job of being in real cities and dealing with real historical events. But they're hitting that age where it's like.
Marvel's planning a second Holocaust. It's happening. It's happening next year.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's happening.
Is that the next big event?
That's the next big event.
Avengers versus Holocaust?
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that I just came off poorly. Is that right? Is that true? Is that fair to say?
Well, to be fair, the host made you.
We'll edit it out in post, I'm sure. Don't edit it.
Oh, you don't have to whisper that. You don't know how this works either.
If I whisper it, they can't hear it. The guests can't hear if I whisper
it. Please don't edit that out.
That's it for the stack. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Boothman. Man, you got a first question for us?
Yeah, this is from Joshua in Astoria.
Awesome. Nice.
What is your favorite experience you've had reading a comic book?
Oh, nice.
That's a good question. I'm curious to hear from our guests.
My favorite experience reading a comic book. Let's see. I mean, I remember the first time I ever read comic books. I was about 6 years old, and I was at a campground with my family, and they had like a little general store. And I went, and I remember that the first comic I ever bought, the Fantastic Four were on the moon fighting Master Pandemonium.
Yeah!
Wow.
And I remember the issue specifically, and I remember immediately being like, yo, these are the shit. And then like 4 years later, my parents were like, why are there 10,000 comic books on the floor of your room?
We should have made him go down in the canoe on that.
How old were you?
I was maybe like 6 or 7
you
years old.
You were hard for a 6-year-old.
He got hard.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was a real street kid. Yeah. Camping in the Poconos, being like, yo, this is the shit. chilling at the general store, kid.
Chris, your mother's not bitch and I'm not motherfucker. Is mom and dad okay?
Can I just mention, do you guys know who Master Pandemonium is? Does anybody know that? He's kind of disappeared a little bit. He is a villain in West Coast Avengers. He stole the Scarlet Witch's children and turned them into his arms.
Dope. That's dope.
Baller move. Scared me so much as a kid.
It was a 3-pack. It was a classic X-Men with Banshee on the cover, and I bought it because of an issue of G.I. Joe. And I was like, immediately I was like, man, this G.I. Joe comic's okay. What are these other things? What are those? And that was probably the best.
Yeah. And they were much better than the G.I. Joe comic.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe comic was good. Right? G.I. Joe was always a good comic. But like reading a classic X-Men, reading Fantastic Four, fighting Master Pandemonium on the moon, way better. Way better
Opened
than
your eyes.
G.I. Joe's.
Opened your eyes.
Yeah.
I loved comedy comics when I was a kid because everything for me was about comedy. There was a series called Peter Porker, The Amazing Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Ham, Hulk Bunny, and Captain America-cat. And I loved that. I loved that. And I also loved Sergio Aragonés's Gru the Wanderer, my friends and I would sing like the opening. I still remember the thing. It was a hero, maybe grand or small, but Gru is a Neanderthal. His fame is spread from sea to shining sea. This much is undeniable. He's totally reliable if you're in need of some catastrophe. And so we were just sort of. I would just sing that to myself over and over and over again.
Editor, take that out and send it to the internet.
So it was that experience of because I had had. My best friend at the time bought two of everything every week and had two stacks, one that he never opened, one that he opened gingerly and then would put back, and then everything was super separated, and it scared the shit out of me. And then I realized, like, oh, these can be fun. This isn't just
not
a
work.
Chore.
Yeah,
they can be fun. So I really, for me, it was discovering that, you know, that there was a really, a, like, a comedy set of comics.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many experiences I can think of just from different directions, things that influenced or I really remember very vividly.
Different directions?
Yeah, different directions.
What do you mean?
The first comic I really remember that really impacted me in any way, and I've talked about this on the show before, but my dad had this gigantic book of Superman comics that had like three issues from every decade. So none of the stories would finish. None of them connected in any way. But you got some from the beginning of Superman, 60s, 70s, 80s.
And today.
And today. Yeah, all the hits. But it was great. And I read that book every single day, probably for years. Wow. It was great. And then I decided that Superman was dumb.
And that's when you knew you were a man.
Yep.
One day, I used to work at Burger King. Not ever telling old stories. I used to work at Burger King in high school.
What?
Yep. For a year and a half, I ran the shit out of the Burger King drive-thru. Does that sound hard?
You sounded real street.
Yeah, real street. Street.
If I'm giving you advice on how to sound street, you have a problem in life.
I already know that I do.
Maybe you should hold
I look up to your urban roots.
Hi, welcome to Burger King. How can I help you?
Otis Spunkenmeyer Cookies. We,
I've never been a fan of that name, by the way.
No.
Oh, I love it. What's up?
One dude.
No, well, it's just the name. Spunkmeyer. Spunkmeyer.
Yeah, it's gross.
Second Hot kettle.
Second story. One day, I was like, "Would you like?" Because we had to push the Spunkmeyer cookies. I was like, "Would you like?"
Yeah, you had to push the Spunkmeyer cookies.
Push the spunk.
Push
we had to be
spunk.
Like,
you had to
the
get them out
spunk.
There.
Don't fake the spunk on Nasty Dunk.
Wow.
So we had to push those cookies, and one guy was like, he doesn't make cookies, he's a baseball player. And they got to the window, and he handed me a baseball sign with Otis Spunkmeyer. And I thought it was real for years, because I didn't know sports.
Was that your story about comics?
No, that was a second story about cookies.
Oh, okay.
So I had read an issue, the first Starman.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Were you stalling?
Because they're talking about Spunkmeyer. Yeah, I was stalling.
You were thinking about a comic book?
Yeah, let me get this comic shit straight because I've been faking for 5.5 years.
That story made no sense. Yeah.
When we were talking about Spunkmeyer cookies.
No, we weren't.
He brought it up.
You brought those up.
I said it, but he said it again.
So you brought it up.
Is there more to that story? And then that man took me back to his cabin.
You're not even on the show. You just wandered in here.
Do you know how this show works?
Talking.
So I just read the first annual of Starman, and there was this character. It was about the space, the guy, the Starman in space that you don't ever really meet except for this one issue, and he falls in love with this princess. She had red hair, and there's this girl that came in to eat at Burger King, and she looked just like this girl, and she like I talked to her, and like there was this whole like sort of slight romance. Over the course of my shift at Burger King.
In your mind.
I was like,
in your mind.
In my mind. Totally in my mind.
Would you care for some Otis Spunkmeyer?
she
was
looks like
yeah.
The girl from Starman.
Yep. And I'll tell you what. I was like, this shit is real. There's a fucking intimate moment.
What happened? What happened?
Oh, nothing. I kept reading comics and took a while to get back to girls.
So you're saying the girl who just walked into the Burger King didn't leap over the counter at the guy who was flipping burgers and comparing her to a comic book character?
First off, at Burger King, they don't flip burgers. They're run through a broiler.
Wow. Whoa, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Whoa. Flame broiled, wow. Kid.
I was way out of line. I'm
Thank
so...
you.
Sorry, I was way, way, way out of
Fucked
line.
Fucked up.
I apologize.
A year and a half.
Pete, what about you? What's your story about cookies?
I don't want to go off on a random story.
Don't do that.
Would have to say, of recent, my favorite comic book moment is I was on the subway reading my comic, and across from me, there was this lady with her kid, and she was just kind of like shaking her head, like, really, guy? You know? And then I looked to the left of her, and there was this guy in a business suit and tie, and he was reading the comic, and he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, yeah. We should mention the lady with the kid had red hair.
She'll be back. Space princess. She'll be
cool.
Back.
Let's get the next question, please.
All right. This is from Alfred in New Jersey. This is from Mr. Hardwick.
Oh.
Who would you really want to have on the Nerdist Celebrity Bowling?
Mega 64.
Oh, that was weird. I thought your voices came over there or something. That
I'm a puppet.
Oh.
I would love to... Oh, I'd really love to get the Doctor Who cast and Stephen Moffat.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I would love to get Arthur Karen, Matt, and Stephen Moffat on. I don't know if that's actually going to happen ever.
Because they don't know about bowling?
They don't have it over there.
Yeah.
What is this? This is like cricket.
Yeah. That takes a whole fucking weekend.
They call it crumble bumps.
Yep, it's crumble bumps. Crumble bumps, yeah. Chris Hardwick's All-Star Celebrity Crumble Bumps.
Yeah. Hello, hello.
Hello. There's nothing to it. We don't throw anything at anything.
We just talk.
Just think.
I think the community cast would be fun. I mean, if we're really talking pie in the sky, I think it has to be...
Comic Book Club.
Thank you, Boothman.
Or it has to be Venkman and Spengler and yeah. Stantz.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for using their real names. Yeah.
do those people have actual names?
Yeah. Bill Murray won't do Ghostbusters 3, but he'll do All-Star Celebrity.
In character.
That totally seems like the kind of thing he would do.
You're right.
You leave him a message on his crazy voicemail like, hey, do you want to be on a bowling show? And you'll be like, all right, I'll do that. Like, you never know.
You'll never get rid of him. If he does that, you have to trick him into doing Ghostbusters 3. You just have to be like, oh, could you just read the stuff? It's for the bowling show.
You actually have
We're
to hire
hell,
a ghost to come in and be like, look, proton packs. And then you have to put him near the proton. You have to put the proton packs near him, and then he'll just sort of take to it.
He'll be like, yeah, right. Like training a puppy. Yeah. Well, have you heard the story about him and why he did Garfield, the movie?
Yes.
Because he thought it was directed by one of the Coen brothers.
And
it was directed by a guy with the last name Coen, yeah. but he was not one
nope.
of the Coen brothers.
Nope.
And so he signed on to do it, and he was like, wait, this is a fucking cat movie. And then he was like, all right, I'll finish it.
I'm bummed. Well, first of all, Mondays suck.
And lasagna
is
great.
Awesome. An early iteration of the next Ghostbusters movie that I heard was so fucking mind-blowing, and I was so on board for it, which was yeah. that the ghost of Peter Venkman was the villain.
Amazing. So good.
And then that ended up not... It's sort of a spoiler, like, but it ended up not... That's not the case.
It's such a great idea. It would be perfect.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I want to see the Coen brothers Garfield movie.
Yeah. First. Coming soon. They're having trouble with the script.
That's going to be fucking a mess. Let's get the next
Send that cat
question,
to
please.
Abu Dhabi.
This question is from Kaylin in New York. What current TV character would you love to see as a superhero and why?
TV character?
Yeah, do you know what that means?
Like,
it's like a character that's not a superhero who like later becomes a superhero.
You got it.
Huh?
Like the cape.
Oh, like Mantis. let it percolate in your memory.
More people know Mantis than the cape.
Yeah, yes. I know. The cape is just trash. Yeah. Mantis meant something.
He had a cape.
Yeah.
He had a cape.
So
what TV character, I assume?
I'd love to see Pete Campbell from Mad Men turn into a supervillain.
Yes.
A villain, yeah.
Right? He'd be a fantastic supervillain.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I would love to see Alec Baldwin be a supervillain.
Yeah. The Shadow.
It's easier
Watch
to
shadow.
Think of villains for some reason, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to give a really pretentious answer. Like, I think the French detective Poirot would be a wonderful... I think it'd be awesome if it was like Nucky Thompson. I want to see some sort of a weird superhero element to Boardwalk Empire. I want to see that, like a fucking meteor hits the boardwalk, someone touches it, they have these crazy galactic powers, and they fucking take over... Then, wouldn't if you had $1 billion, wouldn't you buy that show and be like, "Fuck it, season 3, Meteor"?
Well, that's the thing.
If I had $1 billion, I would be way too busy with the women in the other alley.
Hey, Alex, help me! Alex,
it's definitely you, though.
Yeah,
right?
It is me. Yep. So the whole time, it's
that would be amazing. I mean, this is the nerdiest thing I could possibly think of. But there's an amazing Mark Waid series called Empire that he wrote about a supervillain taking over. Fantastic series. Definitely pick it up. But if you could have a crossover between Boardwalk Empire and Empire.
That would be...
Is that what it takes to blow your mind the same word twice?
Like six people would go crazy for that, man.
I'd also go nuts if it was Boardwalk Empire. It was they all got the powers of a radioactive boardwalk.
Nice.
I would watch that.
Mr. Monopoly, Mr. Pennybags could show up.
Yeah. So what other TV characters, guys?
What's on TV these days?
Well, Grandpa.
Yeah. Andy Griffith, like if he was a great fisherman, I think would really light up the people.
That Ed Asner would be a great...
Art Carney, give him like, give him 10 minutes.
That,
you'll see super
that
shit
Ernie
happen.
Kovacs still got a show. Steve Allen.
I would give Lou Ferrigno his job back as the Hulk. That's what I would do.
Be that's so sad.
Why is it sad? I think he's awesome.
Give it give it back like they took it away. They were like, no more Lou. Get out of here.
Lou, please, give us the green body paint back. We got to...
It's mine!
That is definitely not what his voice sounds like.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm Lou Ferrigno.
That's not what my voice sounds like either.
Is it?
There.
All right, I think we have one more question.
Yeah, last one. This is from Jordan, Forest Hills. What is the one thing that you could find out about someone that would 100% convince you that they were a nerd no matter what?
Wow.
Wow.
Jeez.
Hosting a comic book talk show.
That's true.
Yeah. But are we talking about, like, lightest level of nerd? Here, like one tiny little detail.
Anything you want.
Like I'm super into chicken sandwiches.
I'd have to say it was finding out that during a chess tournament in Crossville, Tennessee, while on a road trip, he went into the bathroom to jerk off and went back to his chess match. I don't know who that would be.
Bobby Fischer.
Yep, searching. Yep, it's Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, that was the climax of searching for Bobby.
Hey!
Literally.
Awesome. Good job.
The movie
he
searching
went,
for Bobby Fischer.
Got some Otis Spunkmeyer cookies.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, right.
That's not the pun. I wasn't making that pun.
I love that part of the movie where little kid's like, he's playing the kid, and he's like, he offers him a draw, and the kid's like, why would I do that? And he goes, you've already lost. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
That movie is very good.
Yep.
Chris Gethard, for you.
I feel like any time someone reveals to me that they were the kid who had to wear the eye patch, like that never goes away, right? That's like you were branded a nerd as a young kid.
Yeah. Wait, if you got like sawdust in your eye?
No, like my brother had a lazy eye, and he had to wear like a giant Band-Aid over his eye every day.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh yeah. And did anybody else have a kid in school who had that?
Yeah.
That kid always in
patchy.
His heart, right? That kid, that kid, right? That kid could grow up, become a millionaire, marry the most famous, beautiful woman on earth, and inside he'd always know that he was the kid with the fucking eye.
So do you think Nick Fury gets bullied all the time?
No.
Not that kind of eye patch.
Yeah, that's a badass eye patch. Yeah. Also, well, you guys all haven't seen Avengers yet, but I guess in there, every time he appears, there's all these fucked up stuff coming out of his eye. Have you seen it? Even in the trailer, it's like the scar. It's like, it's like we get it. He's badass. He doesn't need to have like chasms coming out of his eye patch face.
His eye patch face.
It really is. It's like it seems like they appear to grow longer.
Nick Fury still can't drive without a special license.
Yeah.
So
great point. Nerdy thing. I don't know. Well, let me eye patch. If you got sawdust in your eye, I got sawdust in my eye, and I had to wear an eye patch for like 3 weeks.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, you had it rough.
I know. Thank you.
Fuck you. I had the braces and the rubber bands and headgear.
Really?
Wow. But that's look at you now.
Yeah. You really escaped from that ridicule. You approach escape velocity.
All right. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman. Ow. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go again.
Here we go. For the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek. So we're going to hit you with some news items. First thing, though, we got to talk about it. Don't worry. We're going to keep it spoiler-free. Let's talk about Avengers. And you've seen it, too, right?
It was so cool that Joss used the Hulk as an explosive device.
Yeah, it was really smart.
Yeah.
Was that not supposed to...
No. The scene where everybody is like, you know what, let's just lay down and die.
And surprising to hear Captain America say that.
Hard to believe that a 15-minute movie made $500 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Across the...
Crazy. Yeah.
I enjoyed every minute.
What did you think about it?
Great.
You loved it, right?
I really loved it a lot because I think, you know, a lot of the speculation was that how can you have that many, like, A characters without having it suffer from, you know, what we now
know is like sequelitis, where they're like, yeah, well, we have 50 storylines. And without giving anything away, Joss did an amazing job of keeping the story kind of focused on one thing and kind of revolving everyone around that. And I thought the action sequences were great. I thought he really knows how to sort of hold on a fight scene and just let it kind of play out, where there's just these bar brawls. So I thought it was great.
It is the best movie.
Yeah, you said this earlier. Not the best.
Best comic book movie, I think.
Ever.
It's been made. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
That's including Dark Knight, right?
Including Dark Knight. I think it's
including
better.
Ghost Rider 2?
Whoa. Let's
including Fantastic Four 2?
Do you mean The Rise of the Silver Surfer?
The Rise of the Silver Surfer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do think like it's the most comic booky movie. The action sequences are like just so true to comic books and so fun. It's a very funny movie. Everything, like everyone's been bummed about the Hulk movies. The Hulk in this movie is the best.
It's great.
It's amazing. And the writing is just so good. The movie's excellent.
Is this killing you, Pete?
Yes. Yes, this is killing me.
It's all right. You'll probably see it. It really is like watching. I mean, people say that a lot about comic book movies, but it really is like watching, experiencing a comic book.
That's the thing that totally stuck out to me is it was watching the Marvel Universe jump off the page
now,
live on
the screen.
Now,
you're the biggest Joss Whedon fan of all time. Like, were you just, like, a giddy schoolgirl just sitting in your seat like,
I got to tell you, this is maybe completely, totally nerdy and totally lame, but at the end when they're playing the end credits and the last thing says a film by Joss Whedon, I was like,
you made that noise?
Maybe.
A man.
Can you do it? Can you do that noise again?
A man with a child made that noise. Your daughter was like, yo, cool it there. Wow.
I told you guys this, but there was a little boy about 6 or 7 who was sitting next to me during the screening and watching it. And the end of the movie, he came out to his dad, was replaying every single scene in the movie. He was like, oh, okay, I want to be Cap, now you be Hulk. And he did this. That was my favorite part. No, wait, my favorite part was this part. And then he went through every single scene of the movie. And I think there is no better endorsement
for that movie. Were you stalking this little kid?
I followed him.
Dad, this man is following.
The whole time in the trunk, he would not stop quoting.
I just hope the Hulk comes to save me. No, Captain America. I hope Captain America comes to save me.
I gave him so much candy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Great. You've confessed to so many crimes on this show.
Pretty much.
The post-credit reveal, very exciting.
Great. And the last hour in particular, amazing. Seriously, the last hour of the movie is pretty much a nonstop action sequence.
It's
perfect.
You've been saying that a lot about movies, like, oh, I didn't like the second half.
I actually rewatched pretty much most of the Marvel movies leading up to this, and they all have kind of dead spots. I feel like Thor takes a while to ramp up. Captain America, the second hour, is a little bit boring. Iron Man 2 is just kind of good in spots. But this, pretty much the entire way through, completely solid.
Constant, really ramps up. You called John Carter the Star Wars of our generation.
I did.
Would you call the Avengers the John Carter of our generation? Mm-hmm. Would you say
that? Yeah, I think kids who grew up with John Carter are really going to feel like,
I mean,
this is their John Carter.
I mean, I remember playing with my John Carter action figure set inside which I kept the action figures inside the John Carter helmet.
Yeah, smart. Right.
Every kid.
Smart,
did you see, they're talking about the Natasha Romanoff movie already.
Are they?
Yeah.
I read a thing about it today. Kevin Feige was like,
great.
Yeah, we already kind of see where that could go.
Every movie's going to be in the Marvel Universe from now on.
Absolutely.
The Vow is going to be set in the Marvel Universe. The Vow 2 is going to be set in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, The Vow, I want you to join the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah. It's going to be like, I was a bad soldier. I just want to get with this girl who I found this picture of her husband once.
They're like, nope, suit up.
I did think it was really weird, though, that the Avengers theme was, take my life. Take my land. Take me where I never stand.
Yeah. Though, spoiler, Wash came back, so that was nice.
You can't take the sky from me. Because Avengers assemble.
You can't take the sky. They just added no Hulk.
No Hulk. Great.
Yeah, he said Goram Smash at some point.
Goram Smash.
Yeah. Very good.
All right, let's move on to another thing. Actually, talking about the Hulk, this is a little bit of news. Because everybody is loving the Hulk so much in this movie, they previously said, now we're not going to do another Hulk movie. We're going to concentrate on a Hulk TV show. Now they're stepping back on that a little bit, and news has come out that they're going to have a Hulk movie potentially with Mark Ruffalo in 2015.
Nice.
I know this is kind of going on a slight lack of knowledge from some people.
Nah,
but,
we got this.
But what do you think? Would you rather see Hulk's continuing adventures on TV or continuing in movies?
I would rather see it as a TV show.
Yeah.
Because now we, you know, like I think what shows like Walking Dead prove is that you can make a visually stunning television show, and I think the technology exists that you could make a really cool, like if you get a Hulk movie, it's going to be ages before it comes out. And I kind of want to, I really want to follow the same kind of story that they followed in the original Hulk show, yeah, but just with better everything.
Stories.
Yeah.
Right.
So
and Lou Ferrigno in his trailer being like, you can't have the paint.
We don't need it anymore. We'll color you digitally.
I want it.
All right, yeah. Shut it down. Shut everything down. Turn off the lights.
Yeah.
They don't know how to
turn off
that.
The lights. Yeah, it's a wrap, Lou Ferrigno. Turn off the lights.
Okay, I do everything on this.
I do like the portrayal of the Hulk more because I read the Ultimates. And I kind of like the idea of Banner as sort of a wiener.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. And there would be a shame that in the TV series they probably couldn't get Ruffalo to do it. And Ruffalo does a great job.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
How was the Stan Lee cameo?
Good.
Fine.
Haven't you seen enough of that guy's face at this point?
I just, you know, it's fun.
He's around.
Yeah,
he's
yeah, still he just in likes it. Fun.
Yeah.
I can't believe what's happening in this
film. Yeah, that's what. That's every cameo he does.
What's going on here, Excelsior?
In the Thor movie, accurate. It was a hilarious role. It was really funny, his cameo.
Yeah, a real departure for his
acting. He does the same thing. He backs up a truck. And he's like, did I get it?
Yeah.
Anyway, last thing to talk about. Let's stop talking about Marvel movies for a second and start talking about DC movies.
Woo!
Today, the Dark Knight Rises trailer, the new one, hit the internet. You guys check that out? And what did you think of it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you take a look?
Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet, no.
I think it looks
it's good.
Pretty awesome.
Did you guys all see it? Well, I'm not revealing too much.
Yeah. Half of you earmuffs.
Well, it's not a big...
big deal!
It ends... Well, no, it's a big deal that it was released. But Catwoman's like, oh, I'm not supposed to get in cars with men. He's like, this isn't a car. And then, like, then sort of a bumper falls off onto the ground. Like, the bat plane is like a weird black piece of metal that's like... It's like this thick, and it's like... Shroom. I was like, oh, that's too bad.
This isn't a car. This is a piece of garbage.
Yeah, that's what it seems
that
like.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
It's so weird. Catwoman, I fucked up this time.
I'm sorry. I'll rise next time.
Yeah. See? See what happens when you say that?
I think it looks cool. I mean, I just...
It does look good.
Yeah, I think that was cool.
Well,
you just ruined that moment for me. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then you're like, yeah, it's lame. I was like, oh.
Oh, well, don't take my opinion for very much.
I don't.
Well, here's another question. Everybody's been talking about this. Everybody wants to play armchair box office person. But do you think Avengers...
Kids' favorite game. Why would you want an Xbox when you could play armchair box office person?
Yep.
Come around, kids. We're playing your favorite game.
No more Pop-O-Matic bubble.
I want to sit in the armchair now.
Yep. You grew up in a different household.
What do you think is going to be bigger, Avengers or Dark Knight Rises?
Well, Avengers has already made like $300 million.
Yeah.
Already?
They predict by the end of this weekend, it's going to be over $500
million. Over $500 million by the end of the weekend. I think Dark Knight could be close, but I knew everyone thought Avengers would do well, but I just don't think they expected it to do like almost $300 million overseas before it even opened in the States.
That's why I feel like they're saying like, yeah, Hulk 3, sure, whatever. Just say something. I don't know. Whatever you want. Anything anyone wants. I think Avengers is going to win the money race.
Because also kids, right? Like all these different movies showing up in the same movie, kids are going to lose their minds.
Yeah.
Like, they have that.
It's
well,
the ultimate thing.
Here's the other thing, though. I mean, in terms of getting kids out, kids are like, oh, awesome Avengers. I don't think kids are like, I want to watch a psychological portrayal of a man who's beaten down.
Right.
Do you
And some sort of take with superheroes on the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Do you think that it hurts future films when they do like an Avengers where everyone's in it and it's like, are you just going to watch one character? Do you think they have to raise the stakes, you know, in the future to do like, you know, Avengers versus X-Men?
It does. I mean, that would be amazing as a film.
Quick, brief sidebar. That would be amazing. Let's do that. Definitely do that right away.
I do think there was a certain sense after watching Avengers, it felt like they were holding back with certain of the other movies. Not necessarily the Iron Man movies, because I think they kind of go for broke with those, but Thor and Captain America, it felt like, okay, we're going to do stuff later on for the Avengers. Let's leave it for there. Great for the Avengers, maybe not quite so great for Thor and Captain America.
I hope they have to start making individual movies anytime they want to include an Avengers. So they have to make, like, Moonstone and Stingray movies.
Yeah.
Hellcat movie, all the shitty B-level Avengers.
Yeah.
Sting, I would love to watch a Stingray movie.
Do you know what they should
great
do? They should,
stuff.
They should make a Doctor Strange movie and a Doctor Druid movie and release them on the same day.
Yeah. Definitely.
How could you
do
pick?
You guys even, I don't know. I'd go see Doctor Druid, I guess.
Doctor Druid.
Yeah.
He's probably
actually,
not even
his original
name.
The tagline, he does magic too. Sell it.
Dr. Druid, who is a total ripoff of Dr. Strange, when they first released a comic feature, his name was Dr. Droom.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Close enough for me. That's fine. Yeah. It was a different time. They were in a rush.
Yeah. Most kids are like,
no,
oh, Dr.
Making
Droom?
Movies back
that sounds
then.
Good.
Yeah.
I've spoken to legal. We cannot name this character Dr. Doom 2. How about Dr. Droom? Yeah, works for me. All
right. Great. I mean, I'm not legal, but that sounds great to me.
I'm just a guy standing here. That's it for the Winky Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's now time for trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Yeah. Woo!
Guys, this part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Yeah, that's right. Informal gift card to Midtown Comics. All right, how this works is we get a brave volunteer. We bring you up. We ask you three questions. You go 3 for 3. You win $25. Who would like an opportunity to win 20? Yeah, first hand up, guy. Come
first
on down.
Hand up, guy.
All right, coming up.
I'll tell you what.
That's you, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Pete.
Oh, wait, nope.
I'm
an asshole.
I'm a bit of an internet tycoon, Pete.
Yeah?
If he goes 3 for 3, I'll throw an extra 20 in there on the pot.
What?
Bringing it up to $45 fucking dollars.
Woo!
Wow.
So,
make it
25
money.
Of gift card, 20 of real.
Yeah, he could just spend the cash whenever.
Yeah.
In the world.
That's the beauty of money.
And so, you know what, Pete? I'd love to contribute, but I don't got cash to burn.
That it's what
you said that matters more.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
The contribution. Is
I feel really bad that he doesn't know how this works and I cheat. All right. Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Today's trivia is on famous Chris's in comic books.
Wow.
Hey, your
His
name is Chris.
Is Chris.
Whoa! Audience, Chris.
Triple
all right, cool.
Chris.
Here we go. So I'm gonna. Read you
Sports
a
reference.
Question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Total cash. Yeah. Here we go.
Hold on real quick.
I literally have $0 in my wallet to contribute.
Chris Hardwick fondling money. Chris Gethard opening empty wallet with receipts in it.
It'd be funny if you could train to do like the cartoon moth flying out.
Yeah.
All right.
I got it. Chris, I'm happy to give you this receipt I got from Nathan's Hot Dog. You can see what I ate at Nathan's.
Also known as order number 41.
All right.
Collectible order number 41.
All right. Try to focus. I don't know how you can, but here we go. Question number one. Here we go. Use the music. It'll help. General Zod had a kid, and he named it. Is it A, Chris Kent, B, Chris Zod, or is it C, Christina Ricci? So it's either Chris Kent or it's Chris Zod.
Oh, A
is correct.
Hey.
All right, here we go. Question two. Chris Claremont is known for his work on X-Men. Which character did he not help co-create?
Ooh.
Is it A, Strongman, B, Jubilee, or C, Crispus Allen?
C
is correct.
Yeah.
I didn't even help him with that one. Didn't even help him. Here we go. Last one. Don't get cocky. Which movie has Chris Evans not been in?
There isn't one.
Is it A, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, B, The Nanny Diaries, or C, Encino Man?
I really want to get in your pocket.
C is correct.
Yeah! All right.
$25 and 20.
Don't forget
awesome.
About your
Yeah, and your neighbors.
As you
receive.
Can see. Yeah.
Want some help? You all right?
Don't tell anyone that I like Orangeade.
Wait, who doesn't like Orangeade?
Give it up for Gotta Chris, like guys. Yeah. God, so many Chris's on this show tonight.
Yeah, too many.
Crazy stuff.
My name's Chris now, too.
Oh.
That's nice. Chris.
Getting on board.
Cool. Guys,
it's Christmas?
Tomorrow is what?
Forget it.
Too late.
Missed it?
Huh? No, he said it's Christmas. Now I had to say that, too.
Now thanks, we all Justin. Have to say it.
I mean, Chris.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Wolverine and the X-Men. It's a fantastic series.
Yeah,
that is true.
It's great. It's set. Wolverine is the headmaster of the School for Mutants right now, and everything that always happens at that school is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a really great series. I'm looking forward. Actually, there's a comic, Garfield number one, is coming out tomorrow by the Coen brothers. right. Bill Murray is drawing.
Yeah. The lasagna is just made out of beetles.
Yeah, it's really, really progressive.
Real weird.
Stuff. I'm looking forward to Swamp Thing coming out tomorrow. Been a great series. That and Animal Man just about to cross over for some big action. Scary, scary stuff. Definitely worth picking up.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the hardcover is coming out of Teen Boat tomorrow.
What?
You guys, I'm not joking
Teen
about
Boat
that.
Teen Boat is really good.
Teen Boat is amazing.
Well,
hold on.
Good.
Teen Boat, the tagline for Teen Boat is all the angst of being a teen, all the excitement of being a boat.
Thrill. Yeah. Thrill of being a boat.
The thrill of being a boat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Random audience member that I don't know. But it's about a kid. My wife, yes. I don't know her.
Yeah, I know.
It's about this kid, a teenager, who has the ability to transform into a small yacht.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's ridiculous.
It sounds like Heat Vision and Jack a little bit.
It's a little bit. He turns into a yacht, and people are always peer pressuring him into having parties on him and things like that. It's great.
Well, there was a cartoon that I used to watch on the USA Cartoon Express, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Deep breath.
Well, you're talking about the Air Bear Bunch?
You just made someone's dreams come true by saying that.
No, about
a kid
who
I don't want to be gross, but you can totally get that girl's pants right now.
When he touched water, he turned into a car. I think it was...
That's weird.
Huh? Turbo Teen!
Holy shit, I remember that! I remember Turbo Teen!
And it was like, honestly, like six minutes of him being like, no!
Do you remember the Laugh Olympics? Do you remember that?
Oh, hell yeah!
It was like the original Avengers.
Oh, yeah! It was! Everyone
they all came from all areas of the Hanna-Barbera universe to
Peter Potamus.
Yeah.
I remember all that shit.
Well, if you like any of those shows that they just mentioned, you're going to love Teen Boat.
I don't know about that.
Sure, probably.
Turbo Teen. That's
what are you looking forward to, Chris?
Rex Morgan, M.D. The trade paperback of Mary Worth is coming out. No, I'm also looking forward to Animal Man, and I'm looking forward to the Doctor Who Classic Series 4, number 3, as well. So,
all right, and plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
All-Star Celebrity Bowling every week on the every Monday on the Nerdist channel for a while, and then just other stuff on the Nerdist. It's very important when people subscribe to this channel. That's a major part of how we can keep this programming going, is if we can demonstrate that yes, people will subscribe to this sort of, you know, this sect of our subculture. So if you like this show or any other shows, please click subscribe, and that would be tremendously helpful to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we're slightly slipping into pledge drive territory a little bit here.
There's only nine more hours left of this show. We
if you guys want a tote bag,
the kid that he kidnapped at the Avengers, we're not going to let him go until we can reach 100,000 subscribers. So his blood will be on your hands.
And you don't want that, guys.
Nope.
Yeah. So you were on Downton Abbey.
Yes. Apparently, the upstairs people have an interesting relationship with the downstairs help.
You got to have an all-star celebrity Downton Abbey bowling.
Oh, that
Crumble bumps!
Yep. Crumble bumps.
There you
crumble
go.
Bumps.
Wow.
Great. We're really planning a couple of shows here. Chris Gethard, what are you looking forward to?
I'm not up on current comics, as you guys mentioned, but looking at that list, I would go with my old favorite comic, X-Factor.
Yes.
I don't know if it's
great
good
comic.
Anymore. I have
great
no idea
comic.
If it's still good.
It's still written by Peter David.
God damn. That guy, last time I was on your show, that guy yelled at me.
It was a seminal moment for you.
It's really uncomfortable.
You get yelled at by a lot of comic
creators.
People.
Yeah.
Is that the comic book where Simon Cowell rips off American Idol?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Howard Stern's in it now.
Yeah.
He has powers.
Yep.
Yeah. Really smart stuff.
Great. Plug some of your stuff, Chris Gethard.
The Chris Gethard Show. It's a weekly public access show. Every Wednesday, 11 p.m., you can watch live at thechrisgethardshow.com. Call us up. And also, as part of that show, I'm going to be walking from Los Angeles to Tennessee at the end of May and beginning of June. So if you're willing to help out and give me a ride, email helpgethard@gmail.com.
You're going to fucking get murdered.
I think so, yeah.
Where,
I think
you're
so.
Walking from L.A. to where, what part of Tennessee?
To the Bonnaroo Festival in Manchester. I think it's Manchester, Tennessee.
You better leave, like, after this show.
Yeah,
I committed to doing it, and then immediately was like, that's not a good idea. It's not a smart idea.
You do
idea.
That a lot.
I do. But I think if enough people email and say they'll help me, and you can follow it all on Twitter at hashtag Bonnaroo Gethard. And if enough people commit to helping me, I might make it there alive. But if that's I die... Great. What a way to die, right?
You're right.
Traveling.
For that's no like a, good reason at all.
That's like a classic Bill Bixby episode of Incredible Hulk. You would be a character in that.
Yeah. Imagine if the Hulk was just the nerdy guy and couldn't transform into something powerful. You'd have me out in the desert this May. So Bonnaroo Gethard.
He doesn't help people. He asks for help.
So it's same show. He's still got the backpack and the jacket, but just none of the Hulk stuff.
Yeah. Red-headed Hulk.
He'd go out to people and be like, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And they'd be like, why not? And be like, I don't know.
Yeah. I complain a lot.
He's just as neurotic, has just as many anger issues, but nothing comes of it.
Guys, a couple of things. Next week on the show, we're going to have Marvel writer Frank Thierry is going to be here to talk about his new series, Space Punisher.
Yes!
Oh, man. Cannot wait.
And we're also going to have from 30 Rock, Scott Adsit is going to be here.
Oh, Scott's great.
I'm very excited about that. A couple of other things. If you are watching online, please subscribe right above my head or something like that, youtube.com/nerdist. If you're listening at home, please go to youtube.com/nerdist and subscribe there. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
We're on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep. And you can also check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcasts and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Chris Hardwick for being on the show.
Yeah. Doing the show.
Thank you. Chris Gethard.
Yeah. Sorry about the Holocaust thing.
Booth Man.
We want to thank Midtown Comics. We want to thank Broadway Video. We want to thank The Nerdist. And we want to thank Pianos for having us here. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7:30 in New York. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys.